we're live. Welcome to the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kirkwood, screen name Kirk D's, here with my two boys, like usual. It's been a little under the weather lately. Brett Harfield, Killer B, 2482. And then not to be outdone by Canada's number one DFS player, Toe Tag and Tambo, Tyler Tambeline. What's going on, boys? We're back for week 7.
Kirkwood, I got snubbed, man. The World Cup team came out for Canada. I'm number one in the world.
I got two.
Jeez.
I could care less. But
is there a Canadian team in that?
There is, and I didn't make the squad after all the Kirkwood hype. I don't get on there, man. It's bad. I had people reach out. Where are you at, Tambo? Nope, nowhere to be found, man. But it could be worse.
And somehow DB's on it?
Oh,
Dan Bach?
Yeah.
Voice of the industry, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Got to have it.
Anyways.
Yes.
How we doing?
Yeah. So my week 6 was interesting. Like you said, Kirkwood, I've kind of been dealing with a certain sickness. I caught the COVID, as I said.
Oh, you're going to announce it? I was trying to.
Yeah. I don't care. Throw it out there. I was supposed to go to Florida, today. So I'm kind of bummed out. I was supposed to get some golf in, but, interesting times here. I didn't get it bad. So, luckily was still able to DFS this past week while I was quarantining. So made some decent profit. Didn't put out like too many tournament teams, but still ran pretty good. Made decent money over on Yahoo, which kind of saved me this past week. Tambo, how'd your week 7 end up here?
Wasn't bad. I'm loving the victory lap of the Madison fade over here. You know, Kirkwood was all over that one, so I had to bring that up.
That's last week. Let's talk about this week.
Okay.
Forward thinking show.
Can't even walk it off. You know what? Let's not even talk about last week, Kirkwood. Let's talk instead about Manscaped. Autumn is in the air, and Manscaped is here to ensure you don't carve your pumpkins when you're grooming. By pumpkins, we actually mean your boys downstairs. In fact, Manscaped's on a mission to change the way you approach caring for your balls. And great news, they just released their products in the UK, my hometown, Canada, and even Australia down under. Let's not forget, it's the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. Their new Weed Whacker trademark ear and nose hair trimmer uses the same skin-safe trademark technology when you're trimming those delicate nose hairs of yours. The Crop Care Kit includes the Crop Preserver trademark ball deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand. Crop Cleanser, also trademark, body wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. Crop Mop, the trademarks continue. Ball wipes, you never know when an opportunity strikes, so should always be prepared. Plus, you don't want to stink when you sit around that Thanksgiving dinner. If you suffer from stank foot or stand on your feet all day, then I have a product for you. The also trademarked Foot Duster. Foot deodorant is a free gift. The cooling tea tree oil offers a pleasant experience for the stankiest feet and allows you to take your shoes off in confidence. The Manscaped Refined Cologne is a cost-effective way to smell clean and fresh for your date. The Crop Cleanser Hair and Body Wash was designed with aloe vera and sea salt to leave your skin clean, fresh, moisturized, and reinvigorated. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know your manhood is in good hands. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with code ROTO. That's R-O-T-O, ROTO. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with promo code ROTO. Make your balls a priority this fall.
Wow. Well done, sir.
Wow. So my only question to that is I'm thinking I just missed it, but you're not trimming your junk with this same one that you're trimming your nose hairs with, right? I'm assuming those are different blades, different pieces.
If you don't own 17 of those things, Kirkwood, after that ad read, I don't know what's going on. So absolutely, yes, I have every one for every piece of my body, every orifice, everything you can possibly think of. So yes, I have more than one.
You got to change up the heads for sure. All day.
Yeah. Yeah. The blades.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can't be doing that. All right. So we got a slate here. Week 7.
Week 7, baby.
talk about football as opposed to balls. So 12 games now. We got an extra game going on the slate here. We've got some monster totals. Right off the bat, we've got, you know, Green Bay Texans, Green Bay traveling to Houston, 57-point total. Green Bay is a 3.5-point favorite. They looked pretty bad last week in a bad game. The Bucs defense just, you know, manhandled them. So you know that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a little extra fire. They're going to look to get things clicking. And we know what this Houston defense, how they tackle it, since nobody could even touch Derrick Henry in the last 10 minutes of that game, which just buried me last week. But shout out to Tambo for the great calls on that, and he made some money there. Then we've got and Deshaun Watson's been playing better now without Dimple Chin, Bill O'Brien at the handling the play calling, so they're passing more. So you know, this is an interesting week there, because Green Bay is pretty bad against the run. But, man, like, David Johnson just does not look explosive. So it would be in their best interest, I would think, to have to keep, you know, to keep up with Rodgers to keep the pass going here in this one. But we'll see how that shakes out. Other games of interest, the Falcons are always a game of interest, 55-point total, as they're a 2-point favorite against Detroit Lions, two bad defenses. So that's going to – there's going to be a lot of plays there. And Julio's back, right? Like, Julio was a phenomenal play last week.
That's what made him a great tournament play, just not knowing his injury, right?
Yep. He's totally like you just can't play him anymore, and then he does this. It's like he's the king of this forever. Mm-hmm. Then we've got who else? The Bucks, the Bucks Raiders, 53-point total. I'm more of a believer than I think we all are here, is that Oakland can kind of stay in these games and has a pretty decent offense. You know, they've got a lot of weapons, so I expect for them to be able to put up some points in this one if they get the passing game going. And then the we're actually getting the Sunday night hammer, which is how DFS used to be back in the day, where Sunday night mattered, but now it's part of the main slate because of the time changes and whatnot. It's going to be Seattle. Goes to Arizona. Seattle 3.5-point favorite, 56-point total. Kyler Murray just, you know, showed how he's the king of rushing QBs at the moment last week. And this Seattle defense is certainly terrible through the pass. So he's has the potential to have a big game here. And, you know, we know what the Seattle is. Offense can do. They can put up a lot of points in a hurry. So this game should operate at a fast pace. So that's definitely going to be one everyone's going to be targeting. And then, man, then we got Jaguars, Chargers, the Jags, Chargers. That game is interesting to me. The Chargers, 7.5-point favorites. But, I mean, it's just the Jags, man, that defense, it's, have to like attacking that. And then the Cowboys are just their pathetic attempt at defense. Man, what a letdown they were last week. But like in hindsight, man, what could we really – should we have expected from Andy Dalton and a completely banged up offensive line and their defense, which is also banged up and just horrendous. But they're playing Washington, so this will be the true test if Washington can put up some points on them. And then, I don't know, Josh Allen's in play against the Jets. Pittsburgh Titans. I mean, that's kind of a higher total than I would expect, but 15.5 points, but solid defense there. And then Panthers Saints. And then we got a bunch of injury news on the Saints. You know, all of a sudden, Emmanuel Sanders out. Michael Thomas is out, even though he was supposed to come back, but he got hurt in practice again. So there's so we're going to be talking what? Traquan, Jared Cook, Kamara, obviously. And then I guess last but not least, the Bengals at home against the Browns. I don't know. If I missed anything else, who cares? But how's the slate looking to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of injuries that are kind of like changed the slate today. Also, I think this slate is super unique now that this Seattle-Arizona game is going to be a Sunday night game. Allows you to actually have a true hammer, allows you to kind of go through your contest to you know, possibly do some pivots and whatnot. So, Yeah, it's kind of interesting in a lot of different factors. I mean, we got that Joe Mixon is out news. We've also even have like a DeAndre Hopkins. Like Arizona's in a great spot, but he's going to be a true game time decision, and that's a Sunday night game, right, which is on the main slate. So hasn't practiced all week this week and is just truly questionable. So you're going to want to get some exposure in that game regardless, but interesting that you're going to have maybe the best wide receiver on the slate that questionable. It's kind of makes for like a unique slate setup. Tambo, what are you seeing for like just in general for this whole slate?
Yeah, the Aaron Jones news is what I'm waiting on the most because it just popped up. I just saw a tweet saying it's a calf strain and it's likely to be, you know, they should rest him. So that would really open it up. You know, Kirkwood alluded to the situation with Cincinnati, with Mixon going out a couple days ago or a day and a half ago, whatever it was. And now the geo ownership is up to just ridiculous levels. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure. And then just overall, like you said, the fact that Hopkins is attached to that, what's now the late hammer, but the game that everyone was excited about anyway. I think the reason the sites kept it on is because everyone was going to riot if they took that off the slate. That's the game we all want, right? Your boy Kyler Kirkwood is in the mix here, and Russell Wilson the other way. There's a lot of plays that we can utilize in that game. So sort of my thoughts just are, you know, play around these injuries. I really do like the running back position, which we're about to talk about anyway. And I love the fact that, you know, just as a general standpoint of the overall slate, that if you look at like quarterback, which links to what your stacks are going to be, there's a lot of quarterbacks that you could make an argument for this week, more so than I think any other position. And then it's just about stacking them up and getting unique and getting after your construction. But I'm probably going to go with that route. I'm going to just, you know, play the running backs I want to play, go heavy on them, take my shots there, chalk or not. I'll get overweight if I have to, whatever it might be. And then just mix and match these stacks around them because there's a lot of stacks that we can play this week.
Yep. Definitely. And Aaron Jones. So to me, it's funny. So like he sounded like doubtful to me, but then the coach says, that he's more questionable than doubtful. So it's going to be a true game time decision, they're saying, but they're also making comments about AJ Dillon being able to handle it if Jones is out with the, with his calf. So like it seems to me like they're like, it sounds like he's probably not going to play. They're making excuse. They're already.
I thought that exact same thing. Yeah. Like, why are you fielding that question? Like talking about backups being ready to get touches unless you're kind of almost saying that Aaron Jones isn't going to play.
But yeah, man, it's a good spot. The matchup's the one that, you know, we just saw Henry have. We've been talking about it all season on this podcast, which is going up against Houston. And then you look at it, the other side of the story is that, Jamal Williams has had like already he was cutting into Aaron Jones's work. He's had like 45% of the snaps. He's been out there plenty. It wasn't necessarily cutting into his work per se, but he's been out there a lot. So are they really going to just flip and go AJ Dillon season on us, or does Jamal Williams stand a chance here because he's interesting at 4,000 as well?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. You'd have to expect a little bit of an increase at least, right, with Jamal Williams. But, like, just because Dillon hasn't shown that he can handle it yet. But, you know, you never know. I mean, they could just use it as just a complete split, like the same split at least that they've been using.
Yeah.
But I would give a boost to Williams for sure. But that's going to be – huge news too, and it's like we'll see if we get anything like midnight the night before from Schefter or whatever on that. But what else? So it's got to be the New Orleans news. That's huge. I mean, like, that's just changed everything, so we're gonna have to talk about how we attack that. John Brown was announced out today,
right?
It's just plenty of value everywhere. Mostert it's already down. Who else?
Sammy Watkins isn't going to be playing again this week, and we kind of saw that situation, what happened in Kansas City. They had terrible weather, so they weren't allowed to really pass, and I feel like all the Kansas City – I was just checking our Kansas City ownerships, not only Mahomes, but then the Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, I can't believe how low owned we have them currently being in a spot where – I think in Denver, they'll be more than fine throwing the ball.
Yep. All right. So let's talk about, are we going to talk about RB?
Yep.
Yeah, let's go RB.
All right, let me just pull up something here. All right, so running back. We've got some good plays at the top. So obviously on drafting, just because of the price, you know, it's funny on like Yahoo. Like, did you see, Brett, did you see the price of Kamara?
Yeah, oh, like 43, right?
Yeah, and Aaron Jones, 39. Like, mm-hmm. They're like trying to make these guys unplayable.
Yeah, basically the max over on Yahoo has always been like capped at 40, and then like the min has been at 10, so – for them to now go all the way up to 43, I mean, that kind of says a lot.
Anyway, so Kamara first of all, it's a great matchup with Carolina. We mm-hmm. know this, but then with Michael Thomas out, you know, we just can expect such a massive target share for Kamara. Now Emmanuel Sanders out, it's like, it's just like he's this guy's, they should just be dinking and dunking to this guy all game and letting him go nuts or try to go nuts. So he's going to be extremely chalky. So we have to have a plan to how to attack that. Kareem, the Dream Hunt, my boy this week, who, you know, and maybe you guys will disagree, but like great matchup against Cincinnati, has been banged up a little bit, but like it looks fine to go. Just in my opinion, he hasn't had the right game script yet for, you know, him to really pay off on that role with like Chubb out. Like, the underlying usage is all there. It's just like last week he just they just got decimated, you know. Yeah,
he didn't play at all in the fourth quarter, I believe.
Yeah, and the same thing has happened in other games too, when the tables had turned, when they had a comfortable lead. But like we just haven't seen that competitive game where they really need him to rip. And he already, you know, with Chubb back in week two, went for 24 fantasy points against this Bengals D. Already he was utilized. He had a rushing and a passing touchdown in that game. I really like the spot for him. I think he's going to smash. We'll have to give weigh in on an opinion on Gio. I think we're all kind of in an agreement on how to handle that. Chris Carson is someone that interests me as a way to play the Seattle-Arizona game a little bit different than the passing attacks. This guy's been utilized in the pass a lot. They give up a ton of production to running backs in the passing game for Arizona. So Carson's there. So that's kind of like my first few plays I wanted to discuss. We don't have Mixon anymore. And then, I mean, you guys were going to be on Aaron Jones before the injury, I would assume, Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. That's kind of like my top tier at this moment.
Yep. I mean, I loved Aaron Jones coming into this week. Obviously with this injury, I think even if he goes, I'm going to have just quite a bit of lower ownership in general, because I actually was starting my cash teams with him. So now I think like he does make a great tournament play if he does go. So I think ownership wise, I'll still want more than the field on a play like Aaron Jones. But just know that if Green Bay gets up by quite a bit or whatever, that they'll probably pull him with his injury issue. Kamara, I think, becomes the chalk of the slate with both of the Saints wide receivers being ruled out. They're just going to have to lean quite a bit on him, offensively speaking. I think even Latavius Murray is in play at 4,800. We've seen this spot where Latavius almost becomes more of the running back here, and they give Kamara almost just as many touches carrying the ball as, you know, catching the ball. So I think Latavius Murray is a very, very, like, awesome tournament play against Carolina, who can't stop the run. So I would want to get exposure to both of those guys. And I really do like that Cleveland-Cincinnati game. So love the Kareem Hunt side. And I think with Gio being chalky, I'm probably going to try and stay away from him and just buy a lot of the pass receivers. Just love different styles of stacks in that game. But I feel like I know where the ball is going to go there. So, I mean, if I had to rank it right now, I mean, it's tough to avoid the Kamara chalk. I'm going to have a decent amount of him, but I think Kareem Hunt would be my second favorite out of that group. And then going down to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where I think a lot of people are going to get off him just for the – the news that Lev Bell is there, and we just got word that Andy Reid said, yeah, he's looked good enough to see a few snaps, right? So what role is actually changing? I don't think much is going to change there. And I think ownership will reflect.
It's what role is going to be changing this week.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, cause they pay, you know, they got him. So there's definitely going to be a role there at some point, right?
Yep. They got him for men though. Right.
Yeah, so I hear you, but he's going to have his chance, right? Like but it's like, how much is he really going to have a chance this week? So, didn't sound like that much work to be expected from that quote.
Tambo, how do you kind of just grade out like the top tier quarter running backs, just the 7K guys, the 6K guys?
Yeah, so just before that, a quick note on the CEH thing. I did see that quote. I thought it was interesting, though, tying it together with the other quote, because Andy Reid also said we basically picked up Lev Bell a couple days before the quote you just read, Brett. He said, want to give let a little bit of load off of the little guy, talk about CEH and saying, I don't want him to be banging around as much and use Lev Bell for some of that stuff. And obviously it's been a running joke now, the amount of opportunities CEH had in the red zone last week, obviously a better game for him, but it was an island game. So how many people go back to that? So that spot is interesting, but as far as the top goes, I'm in on Kamara. It's like, you know, Kirkwood said, basically going to use him as a receiver. So we saw a couple weeks ago against Detroit, I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily they crushed value or anything, but, you know, at 7,900 and 4,800 for Latavius Murray against Carolina, who's extremely bad against the run, basically bad against everything, I wouldn't even hate putting the two of them together in large field GPPs or something like that and just say that they run over Carolina or something like that, right? So I like Kamara at the top. I was actually not in on Jones. I wrote this up in the expert survey, probably have to go back and change it on Roto Grinders, but I was kind of loving that. You know, it's not that – it was the thing I was talking about earlier, how I already had the snap count for Jamal Williams with Jones. There was that factor. Everyone going there after Derrick Henry just lit them up on the ground last week. And they've been getting lit up, as we've talked about. But I thought that was an interesting spot to go to Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. But now all this injury stuff sort of changes it up. So we'll see how that looks. And then we're speaking the same language this week, Kirkwood. Couple plays that I like there. One is your boy Kareem Hunt. Don't think there's any way to avoid him, especially now with Cincinnati even more banged up, you know, in their situation on that side to keep the game close. I like him still in some passing attacks, but you can run Kareem Hunt on his own. You can run him in a secondary stack against like a Tyler Boyd, or you can run him as the run back for Joe Burrow and some of his guys, which we'll get to. And then, yeah, you stole the stuff. My thunder earlier was going to be Chris Carson. I don't know if you guys saw last week. It's the last 2 weeks now. Mike Davis and Zeke just catching passes for days. Full point PPR, $6,400 Carson against Arizona with that total. Late night hammer, what more do you want? And everyone's on the passing attack of Lockett, Metcalf, Hopkins, Kirk, you name it. I think this is a great spot to use Carson and use him across from the Kyler Murray stack. So leave it at that. Well, what else you got up top there, Kirkwood?
Yeah, I'm just going to reiterate. I'm going to give my thoughts quick rundown on why I like Hunt and Carson so much. Hunt, number one, like I already said, the fact that the games just haven't broke right for him yet. And I think I'm expecting him to be fine and healthy. First of all, like I already said, he gashed them for 86 yards and a touchdown, 25 yards and a touchdown through the air in week two. That was with Nick Chubb. He's handled, since Chubb has come down, he's handled 67% of the Browns' backfield carries, over 80% of the team's running back receptions. And that's what stands out to me the most. And that's with him with his groin issue that he's been battling. The blowout last week and another time where they limited him towards the end. So he's a bell cow, right? And he's extremely talented. He's heavily utilized in the passing game. And he's gets this great matchup where the Bengals have allowed 5.19 yards, so almost 5.2 yards per carry to opposing backs. Right. So like, it's just like, boom, bang, everything. I love them. And then I'm kind of upset that Mixon went down because everyone, like a lot of like the optimal builds were all pairing Hunt with Mixon. And like, I definitely didn't want to do that this week. I didn't want to have each side of the running backs and in the same game. I was just going to be team Hunt and go more with the Bengals passing attack. Now it's a different, it's kind of, now I guess there's more justification. You can do it because Geo's cheaper, putting these guys in, but we'll have some thoughts on potentially, you know, why Gio could be a good fade. But let me get another Chris Carson. So Carson, like you said, so first of all, he's produced and he's been battling a knee injury, right? So they had their bye, so he's fresh off the bye. He's clear goal line back, right? So we don't have to worry about that. He's the passing down back, you know, because he's getting a ton of utilization in the passing down. It's just it's been annoying with, like, the amount of the splits that they've done. But I think it's been more so because of his being banged up, and I expect him to be fresh and healthy this week in the game, like you said, like when everyone's going to be targeting the pass. Like, this is just a different way to play it. Cardinals do allow, they're like 4.35 yards per carry on the ground, but they rank bottom five in yards per target to running backs, have allowed 3 receiving touchdowns to running backs. So that matches up, which is the second most in the league. So basically, like, the more I kept digging into this, the more I kept liking Carson. So, like, I was really excited to talk about Carson on this show. So he's like one of my favorite plays this week. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that goes really well. I mean, obviously, having the Sunday night game too. I mean, one of my first teams that I made was, you know, with that game in mind. Now it's the Sunday night hammer, which makes me think it'll be a little bit more popular, which kind of sucks. But, I mean, outside of that, I just feel like with the DeAndre Hopkins news going to be a game time decision, it almost feels like you need to have some exposure in that game just in case he is ruled out. And then even if he is ruled in, I think you could get some really low ownership, you know, because I don't think a lot of people are going to have Hopkins if he's still questionable going into game time, because that's a lot of salary to be kind of tied up. 8,200 on DraftKings, a lot of salary to be tied up on a guy that might not play. You know, if he's ruled out, it's going to be tough. I mean, obviously you can pivot to DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, but there's going to be no other Arizona exposure that's going to be expensive. So, yeah, makes for a lot of, like, different game theory plays for sure. With that questionable tag.
Well, what are we doing with Gio? You said, like, skip the mid range for a second, because the first point I'll bring up, and it'll bring up the mid range, is that Gio's not 3K. They don't have that anymore. They start at 4,000, and he's not 4,000. He's 4,500. So, what are your guys' thoughts? Maybe Kirkwood, you can kick it off. But what's your thoughts on Gio? Because there's a few, you know, things I can think of.
Well, there's a few too as well I can think of. So it's number one. We've seen Gio in scenarios, and he's had like one monster game, like 1 week, like out of all, he's been in this situation before, but I don't expect them. He's not going to be like a bell cow running back, I don't think.
No.
So I'm not expecting that. It's like, they're not going to like turn this scat back into a bell cow is the way that I'm picturing it. And so I think he's fine. I just don't know. I mean, he could smash, but like, I'm willing to bet against him not smashing. And there's like plenty of other good plays. There's value opening up everywhere. There's value at the wide receiver areas. Like, so it's like, we don't really need it. We don't even need to play 3 running backs anymore. Like, we just play our 2, right? Like, I can just be completely fine with like picking way 2 better running back plays, in my opinion. So it's not like we need to use him. And then Cleveland's pretty good against the run. Now, they were horrible last week, but they were just horrible in general last week. That was just a really pathetic game, but they've held pretty much a bunch of like really good backs to minuscule production. That included Zeke, Jonathan Taylor. They held Mixon to in the first time they played to not a very good game. I'll pull that up. He put up,
yeah, he went 16 of 46.
Yeah. So it's an easier path in the passing game. And yes, he could get some targets and whatnot, but I just don't see him to be the smash play that everyone else does. I'm not sure that everyone else actually does. So like, we might get the Sunday and everybody's saying the same thing that we are. And yeah, no one's going to be playing Gio.
Also, I mean, there's still a lot of news to come down. Like Aaron Jones is questionable, right? So, I mean, if he's ruled out, I think you're going to see Jamal Williams obviously be the chalk, and then nobody is going to be on him. So that would change my whole outlook. Because like you did say, Cleveland has stuffed the run. They've given up some decent catching to like just through the air to running backs. You had – Cincinnati had 9 catches versus them. Mixon and Gio had 9 total catches. So, I mean, it is kind of more of an ownership play. I do want to spend on Cincinnati pass catchers. As this is somewhat of my favorite stack, I'm kind of just leaning away towards Gio right now because of ownership and his role. I think we all agree that he's not a guy that's going to tote the rock probably more than 10 times. So, you know, it's just like, I'd rather spend at a different running back. Cause I think there's a lot of running backs this week, especially that have very high ceilings. And I don't think Gio's that type of back. I don't even think he would be a goal line back. You know, they got P. Ryan and I think another guy. Yeah, Travion Williams. Yeah, that probably will get, you know, goal lines carries also. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just off that situation in general because of percentage owned more than anything else.
Yeah, I just sometimes I say this in golf sometimes too. Like I get the ownership play. We all play the game enough to know this, but sometimes it's a bad play. Like there's all kinds of times where there's a golfer, it's like 5%. I was like, well, I'm going to play him just because he's 5%. But you know, like Woodland last week, he's injured. So why are you right. Like, yes, there's now leverage.
You're going to go there with me when I share that information with you pre-show.
Well, you made me move on quick from the Madison take earlier, but I'm just saying sometimes there's just warts there, and it's like you can do it all you want to just play.
He was like -3 through the first 5 holes or whatever. He was crying. I was ready at 1% ownership.
Yeah, and hey, you know what? Bernard here, he could rip off like a 15-yard, 20-yard run out of the gate. Everyone's going to be all fired up, and then next play is injured or something. So I don't know, or gets spelled at the goal line. It's not for me. But I do agree on one point you said is, you know, I could easily see that everyone's saying the same thing, basically begging for Aaron Jones to get marked out so that they can drop down to Jamal Williams. And I could see that being something where, you know, you've got a situation where Jamal Williams, it's like a double, you know, the butterfly effect, right? Because of that, everyone wants to get to him, and then Jamal Williams crushes everyone's dreams, but so does Bernard, and you should have just paid up. So maybe that's a good segue, Kirkwood, you know, take us into this. What is it? We talked about CEH. So basically 6,000 down to Adrian Peterson against Atlanta.
No. Yeah, we haven't even talked about Mike Davis, right?
I mean, no, come on, guys. I got my eye on one right now that I've been staring at, and you haven't mentioned, but he's right there in that range.
Gurley?
Ronald Jones.
Oh, geez, man, not again.
Oh, no. That was another big coach speak that kind of got me off of the love of Ronald Jones now. Did you see what Arians said?
No, tell me.
He just said Fournette's now healthy and he's like going to assume his role. Now, I mean, what does that role mean? Does it mean that he's only had one game where he had a lot of touches, right? So, and that was after Ronald Jones' bad handoff by Tom Brady, right? So you kind of have to figure out what that actually means, what Bruce Arians means by saying he's going to assume his role. But
look, there's been – he just look what he's done the last 3 weeks. He's just been crushing it, 100 yards in 3 straight games, right?
And now Fournette's back.
Yeah, who sucks.
He does.
So, like, let me read this. So this is on the fly here. Because I'm not buying it. I'm not sold on Fournette's role now, that especially that Ronald Jones has like taken over and like been fantastic. So like he's got to lose it, in my opinion. So maybe I'm totally wrong, and I'll read up on that. But like I loved Jones, and I'll also maybe this will just make him completely unowned. And if that's the case, then I'll want him. But I just don't buy it. I just don't see Fournette coming back in and taking over when this guy's been crushing. Tambo, you're on Brett's side.
I don't know. Like, it's tough. Like I said, what he's been doing, it's hard to deny. It's not really just because of Fournette. It's just sort of the setup there. I don't know if what's going to happen for this week either, but, you know, as we were recording this, the Antonio Brown deal is essentially done with Tampa Bay. So they're going to have Godwin, Evans, and Antonio Brown. Now, I don't know if he'll make it for this game because there's COVID protocols and whatever.
Yeah, but I think they got to do 5 days of quarantine before they can join the team.
That's what I would imagine. So he won't be. So this could be the last show that in town for a guy like him. Obviously, he's still going to run the ball at points, but I think, you know, Tom Brady's just going to keep going to, you know, guys that are around him, and Jones could be that guy. But against Vegas, I don't know what it's going to be like here. What's your thoughts on how the game's going to play out? Because you talked about Carr earlier being able to keep some games a little bit closer. If that's the case, then maybe there would be a spot to go back to him in tournaments. You know, it's not going to be a popular play by any means.
I mean, the Raiders are bad against the run. They've allowed 5.2 yards per carry, and you know, Brady loves to hand. I mean, Brady likes to sling it around and little things, but running back is always a huge, huge component to Brady. And Ronald Jones is you know, has been extremely productive in these last games. So they've also allowed a ton of production to in the passing game too, which is what Brady likes to utilize, just like that James White role. It just makes like and you know Fournette's not going to be doing that, you know, with Brady. It just makes sense to me that, like, to keep him going, unless he has a horrible game, then okay. But, like, I don't think he'll have a horrible game against the Raiders. So I don't know. I'm extremely interested. I mean, you saw what Jones did to the Raiders.
What do you guys think about the Chargers two running backs here? I mean, with Justin Jackson and Josh Kelly, home versus Jacksonville being a 7.5-point favorite at home, I think that's a spot where I'd rather pay up a little bit instead of getting like a chalky Gio Bernard. Even if Aaron Jones is ruled out, I think spending up at one of these two Chargers is definitely a way to go ownership wise. I mean, if it holds true of what happened last game, then you got to expect Justin Jackson maybe a little bit more than Josh Kelly. You guys have any love with one or the other over the other, or are you kind of avoiding that situation in general?
No, I actually like it. I like Jackson. I'm just going to go with what they've been doing and see if that sticks. But I do like it because we'll get to it. But, you know, Hunter Henry's projecting, I think, is one of the highest owned, if not the highest owned tight ends. Mm-hmm. You've got Keenan Allen, yes, at wide receiver. You got Herbert takes. So I do like that for tournaments. I'm still going to, you know, we'll talk about that. I certainly think that's stackable and they're cheap enough and you can make it all work. And even Justin Jackson used in the passing game. But I do like it for a little bit of leverage there. I think it's a good spot. And, you know, that's sort of like you said, why would you go to – for me, I'm not going to go to a guy like Gio. When for $400 more, I can go somewhere else that I like. And that's just one example, right? So – I like it. I'm not sure about you, Kirkwood. What's your thoughts? I like Antonio Gibson. I'm just going to cut in for 2 seconds and say that's the play that I like there. For $5,000 versus $4,500 Geo, I'll take Antonio Gibson all day.
Yeah, I'm with you. I lost you a little. I had a neighbor making a ton of noise, so I got interrupted and then had you on mute.
Basically looking at the 5K range, was Gibson, Justin Jackson, Kenyon Drake off of last week.
Gibson's
David Johnson.
Gibson has to smash. Like this, I mean, I say it, I'm waiting every week for it, but it has to be the week against Dallas. I mean, like you would think that they'll utilize him in the passing game. And so there's just a lot of opportunity for big plays against
them. I think that the issue with me though has just been too much JD McKissick, right? I mean, just how much JD McKissick is running routes also has kind of just been taken away from Gibson's production in general. And it's
of course
truly...
but there's the issue, right? So that's true. But there's also like do you expect that to be the case every single week going forward for the rest of the season? Or do you expect him to eat into that, to them to lean more, start giving Gibson more?
I mean, everything that's come out, like, you know, just anytime like anybody's talked about the running backs in general, they say Gibson is the guy, right? And, you know, rushing attempts, yeah, Gibson is still owning this backfield, but don't know, McKissick, man, like just how many routes run, how many targets he's getting, how many catches he's getting. I mean, he's dominated kind of the pass down work over Gibson, even though Gibson still has plenty of the pass catching role. It's just highly concerning, especially, you know, Washington's offense in general is not going to put up a lot of points. You would love to see Gibson just being out there more.
My take, I agree, but you know, I think the one thing to note is obviously all these L's that the Washington football team is taking. That's what's sort of caused a lot of that. And I actually think, I don't know if you guys have seen, but you know, some of the other injury news that's often not discussed or even reacted to by most, but the right guard and left tackle for Dallas is out. They've got Andy Dalton at the helm. They're on the road. Like, this is, I'm not saying Washington's going to win, but I definitely think they're going to be in this game. And I think there's an opportunity here for them. And so that's where I think you could actually see more Gibson. He's still been averaging over 10 carries a game. He's still been averaging, you know, 4 targets a game. So I think it's a spot where you could see Gibson go to town. And I also think a lot of people are going to take Washington D, but not a lot are going to remember to pair it up, or they're going to be on all these other value running backs, and maybe he's the forgotten one. And when I say that, you know, outside of our bubble, because he could show up still at like 12 or 13%, but meanwhile, a guy like Geo could end up being 30, or Jamal Williams 30 if Aaron Jones is out. So I do like that still regardless, and I'll just take my chances.
Yeah, so I'm like just trying – like, and McKissick has been a pain in the ass, like no doubt about it. It's then because I keep playing this guy, but like it's going to break, I think, one of these times. But, like, obviously, I'm sure we're all going to love McLaurin soon when we get over to wide receiver. But, all right, who are some other guys? I mean, James Robinson was awful last week. The team Jags were just awful in general. Minshew's awful. Still got there, like, with a – lucky touchdown, you know, like to salvage, kind of showed you, you know, with a guy with his kind of usage can do, what kind of a floor like kind of provides. I still think there's plenty of upside. He's out of favor. It's probably a somewhat of a tough matchup with the Chargers, but there's going to be points scored. Are you guys interested in him at all?
Yeah, I'm probably off him this week. I've kind of been there with him. I think every single week, he's just not been efficient running the ball at all. I do like how much he's been involved in the passing game, but I think at this price tag, I think I'd rather pivot to Chris Carson, who's going to be similarly owned. That's kind of just how I feel. I probably won't have any shares of James Robinson this week.
Yeah, I'd be more sold on your Ronald Jones take, to be honest, at the same price, just with what he's actually done with it. But the one thing would be that's the way to go in the when I run out my Herbert stacks, you could run Herbert, Allen, Henry, or whatever, get a Mike Williams if you want to get a bit frisky in there, and then, you know, use him on the other side and just hope that it's that game for him, because most people are going to be using LaVisca, Chark if he plays, you know, Cole, you know, these other guys. So I wouldn't hate it for that reason, but I definitely at that price would take Carson, probably CEH. I didn't mention this earlier. I tried to mention him a little bit, but I was going to say Gurley, Detroit has just been getting destroyed as well. And Gurley is at least getting the workload. That's all you can really ask. If he can, you know, whether he can do something with it or not, I don't know. But a lot of people want to take Detroit running backs against the other side. I teased Adrian Peterson earlier. DeAndre Swift had a little show up, you know, breakout party last week and showed up for once. So there is some other guys in that game. But if you look back, it was Aaron Jones who went for like 40 DK points on Detroit. Other guys have got there too. So I don't mind Gurley in some tournaments, you know, especially because I don't mind Stafford, Galladay, Hawkinson the other way, right? People, it's just going to be a forgotten stack, it feels like, in from what I'm seeing and what the ownership projections show, like Hawkinson 6%. I think Galladay will be a little bit popular right now. He's showing around 10, and then Stafford around 7. So I could definitely see that. Let Gurley do the work on that side and have Detroit throw all day. And when Stafford gets thrown like that, it can be a big game. So I like that one for tournaments as well.
Yeah, I like Gurley as a low owned play too. I mean, this offense kind of came to life. They're at home versus a pretty bad defense in Detroit. And we've seen how much they lean on Todd Gurley inside the five to give him those touchdowns. Last 2 weeks, he's got 9 targets in the passing game. So it's nice to see him get involved a little bit with those too. So Yeah, I think Gurley's a great low-owned type of play. And in fact, like, I think this 6K area is super interesting. The more that I look at it, I mean, with the Gurley and then the CEH, I mean, these guys are really low-owned. And I think, you know, ceiling-wise, the games just like this game in general is a game that I'm going to want to have some stackability. And I don't think there's going to be, like, any running backs being picked up in this Atlanta-Detroit game. So definitely will make you contrarian with those stacks.
Yeah, I don't know how to play it. I have to dig in, but I probably won't be clicking on Gurley. Maybe I should be, though. I don't know. Any other guys here? Did you have a take on, like, Justin Jackson or Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of hit that up. I lean towards Justin Jackson right now, but I think that's the way you pay up to be a little bit contrarian there. So, yeah, I definitely like Justin Jackson, especially Tambo brought up, like, how chalky the pass receivers are going to be there with Keenan Allen. And then I don't know where you guys think the chalk will be at tight end, but I think Hunter Henry's got to be one of the higher-owned guys, kind of stands out by himself at 4,500.
Yeah, he's going to be up there for sure. I mean, it probably makes sense too, but same time, it doesn't mean you got to do that. And that's another way to get around it. I don't mind it. And then, you know, to Kirkwood's point, using Robinson in those game stacks where you are going the passing side, I wouldn't hate that. That'd be the time I'd use him.
Last but not least, Jerick McKinnon. Any interest?
Jamichael Nasty or Nasty, whatever. Hasty?
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think there either.
I think I got to see who's active in McKinnon that backfield.
I think McKinnon's the clear guy.
If they go with three active there, I think you just avoid it, right? If Jeff Wilson's active, McKinnon and Hasty are good to go, I think you just avoid. But if Wilson is not there, I think Hasty's the play for me. I don't know, but just makes for, like, interesting to go cheap, you know, at 4,200. I would just believe, like, in what he showed me in the last game to invest at 4,200. But I'll avoid that situation if Wilson's active.
I'm not high on it. No.
All right. Let's get out of here and go over to wide receiver. All right. So, you know, Davante Adams on the high end, who was shut down.
We're going wide receiver or quarterback?
Oh, shit. Sorry. We didn't even talk about QBs.
It all ties together. All
good. I got a neighbor making a lot of noise. And it's
flustering. Getting rattled over there?
Yeah, I am. Completely. All right. Quarterbacks. So we got to speed it up. Kyler Murray coming in at the top, right? Like, that game, massive pace, massive over-under. We saw what he did last week on the ground. He just has that dual threat. You know, this could be a game where he really has an efficient game in the pass. I know there's been plenty of stats thrown out around about how he's good against zone defenses, much better. And that's what the Seahawks play. Seahawks have just been getting crushed through the pass, 29th in DVOA. But they're also that same defense that allowed Cam Newton to score two rushing touchdowns and throw for 397 yards against them. So Kyler just has so many ways to get there. Looked awesome last week against Dallas. Now, that was a terrible defense. But, you know, the Seahawks are pretty bad defense too. So he's got to be talked about. Other side, Russell Wilson. He's got to be talked about for a little bit more, almost $1,000 more. So it's quite a amount higher. But, you know, there's plenty of ways to play him with Lockett, with Metcalf. Deshaun Watson, you know, looked good last week. He's passing the ball more, had 37 passing attempts last week. In the game that I just think that this game is going to shoot out. I just think that it's going to be Green Bay and Houston just going back and forth with Rodgers and Watson. So I want that. But I definitely want Rodgers, right? I have a feeling like Rodgers is going to have a lot to prove coming back, and it's just certainly a defense that he can come out and light it up against, and especially if Aaron Jones is out. I mean, what else are they going to do? And especially with Jamal Williams being so good in the passing game, just, you know, that just screams pass everywhere. So, I mean, I think that's going to be extremely popular, but for good reason. Rodgers and Davante Adams stacks. Matt Ryan shows, you know, when everyone counts him out after his couple of duds in a row, shows that, you know, he was the guy that everyone could always count on for 300 yards passing because of their terrible defense. So, you know, he certainly lit it up last week. Then I think Joe Burrow is sneaky for a cheap play. Not that sneaky, but still not a lot of people are going to want to play him. And then, you know, nobody's going to talk about Mahomes just because of Denver. It's just not very exciting matchup. But, you know, anytime that, you know, you can get Mahomes low owned, you got to consider it. So and then Matthew Stafford against Atlanta. Everyone tries to make Stafford every week. I don't know what to think. I mean, this is certainly the matchup for it, but like, you see, like, it's still the Detroit Lions and Matt Patricia who love running backs always. So I'll let you guys give me your thoughts on those guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think my top two quarterbacks, just raw production, is going to be Ross and Kyler. I mean, that game it just looks phenomenal. Obviously, that's why it's been put to the Sunday night game. Tough to have too much love for Kyler, though, if he's going to be without DeAndre Hopkins. And, again, we might not know it. Probably questionable up until game time there. So, but yeah, I mean, that price tag, $7,100 on DraftKings, he's going to be chalk for good reason. And right there with you on Deshaun Watson, man, he's looked so much better without, you know, the coach there. So just feel like, you know, him having like a healthy wide receiver core. You know, Will Fuller been phenomenal. Definitely made me quite a bit of money last week. Will Fuller is just one of those guys I'm going to want to have pieces of each and every week. So kind of agree with you there. The KC stack is really feels very underowned, and I don't know if it's just coming off of what we saw last week, but yeah, they're probably not going to be pushed, but that doesn't mean I still don't want to have a decent amount of ownership in Mahomes and Tyreek and even DeMarcus Robinson Robinson was seen basically every snap last week. So yeah, I'm going to want some ownership there. And I think my favorite quarterback wide receiver stack on the slate is going to be Joe Burrow. You know, pairing him with Tyler Boyd in the slot versus Cleveland. So just love everything that's set up. We've seen how many plays Cincinnati has called on the year. And I just feel like this week with no Joe Mixon and no true running back where they're going to probably trust running the ball, that they're going to have to throw a lot more. You know, in week two, they had 92 snaps in week two, which is ridiculous. Burrow threw it 61 times. I mean, I just feel really, really strong about Burrow having a lot of the offense on his shoulders this week. So, probably like those quarterbacks the most. Tamba, how do you break this down?
Yeah, Burrow's one of my favorite, actually. Just the pricing is all there. At that price, it just makes no sense, $5,500. He's got two of his last three – he's got one touchdown, passing touchdown in the last three games, and two of those games he's still at 20 DK points. So, you know, that's almost 4X there just on that. And it's not about getting to a number of 4X, whatever. I don't care about that. I'm just saying if you can do that much damage, and then you talked about it, Brett, with week two – same matchup, you know, 61 attempts. It's not going to be the same, I don't think, as that, but the idea that it's, you know, could happen or you know, it's going to be up there. I think the pace will get pushed. I think the opportunities will be there. There is some stacking partners. It really is, you know, found a keen liking. I do like Tyler Boyd. He's one of my guys that I like this week. You talked about the slot matchup, but seems like Joe Burrow really likes his guy, T. Higgins. So I don't mind that as well, right? You can mix and match, play them both, whatever you want to do there. And then use our guy Kareem Hunt on the other side, or get a little bit more unique and think to the next level and put a guy like Odell Beckham or someone in there against coming back the other way. So I like that stack. I love Rodgers just because you talked about already with Kyler being $100 more. I think Rodgers comes in way less. I'm a little disappointed now. It's not going to make Rodgers more popular, I don't think. But the fact that, you know, the weapon for Murray goes down, possibly. People will have to wait and find out, but they can obviously easily just pivot off of Hopkins to Devontae Adams for $300 less and leave the money on the table. So I'm not worried about that so much. It's that now with, you know, Jones out, or if he's going to be out, I'm assuming things I shouldn't be, but let's just say he is out, or even if he's in as a decoy or something, I just hate that because now, you know, the ownership could move a little bit more to this spot. So maybe even Deshaun Watson just below him, he's interesting. You mentioned, so which is on the other side of that game, I should say. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes. This would be the time, I think, because even when everyone thought, you know, you always got to have a piece of him and they went back to him, he didn't really do anything, right? He had a horrible game when everyone did that. But for him, a horrible game is 20 DK points. So how can you not go back to him for 7,400 for a guy that's probably, you know, eligible to put up 30-plus here, no problem. So I like that. I like a lot of them. Like I said, I don't want to just name everybody, but the Stafford call, just because it's almost the opposite effect of what we saw with Matt Ryan last week, where, you know, everyone was off Ryan. He's never, you know, this is his prove-it spot. This is Matt Stafford's prove-it spot. So you can go back to him here. And then we mentioned a little bit about it, but Justin Herbert, it'll probably be more popular as the week goes on, but I do think he's in a good spot. And he's another guy that's, what's his four outings? 26, 20, 24, and 27 DK points, 6,400, Jacksonville. I don't hate that either. So give me some more, Kirkwood. What else
you got? I got the guaranteed nuts right now. All right.
Oh, and boy. It's
just because we haven't even mentioned it. So that's how I know it is.
The Josh Lawnmower Allen. 3.0.
This is the Lawnmower 3.0 play of the week. And I know, Brett knows all about that. He needs a weed whacker, he was saying, you know, for the show. Anyways.
Very man over here.
Josh Allen. So, all right, back in week one when they played the Jets, I touted him hard, put up 33 fantasy points. I was saying that, like, this is Pro Football Focus's last ranked, 32nd ranked secondary based on talent. They certainly lived up to that, where I think they're dead last in DVOA versus the pass. If not, they're one of them. They're 31st. So Allen, coming off of two bad weeks against two tough teams, a home matchup with Kansas City, which is tough, right? Like, KC defense has been good. It's been no joke this season. Tennessee, that was another tough game where he performed poorly. But now you get the get right spot, like especially when he's out of favor. But like we were all talking about, everyone was talking MVP in the first three or four weeks. Everyone was talking about on pace. I was certainly, you know, this is the guy with all the rushing touchdown upside. You know, this is a guy who put up, you know, 312 yards, two touchdowns, rushed for 57 yards and a touchdown against this same defense. The Jets suck, right? But the only thing here, other thing here, is that other stats that are being provided around the industry here is that, you know, Josh Allen plays and performs much better with a lead, right? And we've seen that play out in the last 2 weeks. And where do we expect? We expect him to have a lead. He's missing John Brown, which just makes it, like, perfect, a much easier way to stack, because I think Diggs is like my favorite running wide receiver play on the slate. But we get Gabriel Davis for cheap, who slotted right into that deep threat role when John Brown, when he was out. So both of those guys are, I mean, that's just like an easy way to stack. Now you have to worry about the Jets scoring points in this way. And Crowder is potentially out, right?
He's questionable right now.
Yeah. But they, you know, they're
but hoping Sam Darnold is back.
Yeah, Darnold back. Like, so hopefully there's a little more fire to this Jets team. They're also, is Mims coming back?
Yes, I believe he was practicing.
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
Yes. Yeah, he will be back.
Yeah. So
curious where he slots in then, because you have Rashad Perriman also back.
Yeah, and Perriman. So like there's theoretically there's some little bit more juice to this Jets passing game, right? Perriman's pretty good. Crowder's pretty good if he's healthy. And then Mims is a is a top prospect, you know, a top pick. So, and a talented guy, you know, it might take him some time to get used to this offense, but, you know, at least they have weapons, and we're not talking like Jeff Smith and God knows Chris Hogan and all the other guys we were trying to play on showdowns. Josh Allen just screams like the play to me this week.
I like that actually a lot. I liked Diggs actually. I wasn't even thinking of putting two and two together there. I was going to talk about him when we got to the other point with and Gabe Davis with the amount, so obviously stack them up. But it's just I always like to run it back, and you know, you mentioned some guys there, and it's just tough to get on them because it's like Mims and Perry. You know, if Crowder plays, that would probably be more interesting just to play him and risk it and sort of get that situation, especially if he gets cleared pretty quickly here. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, but.
Yeah, I think Crowder Perriman could be the bring backs. And either I mean, if Crowder doesn't play, then Perriman would be an easier one. But, like, you can play either of those guys if Crowder does play, in my opinion. I don't know. So let's segue that over to wide receiver, because I was just saying how much I love Stephon Diggs. So basically, I mean, I love Diggs. So John Brown's out. Diggs is already – he ranks 12th in receiving yards, 10th in target percentage. He's, like, top – like, little 15 to 20 in air yards. He's 9th in touchdowns. He saw 4 end zone targets last week. He's, like, top 4 in end zone targets on the season. And now he gets this awesome matchup where he matches up with – he was going to get Pierre Desir, who's terrible, who's given up 5 touchdowns in his coverage this season. He'll be matched up with him a bunch in this game. And the Jets just are terrible. So, and Buffalo's running game, besides Josh Allen, has not been very effective. Like, Devin Singletary is disappointed. It just seems like this, like I said, like Josh Brown is just going to be, you know, gunning in this game after 2 bad games and an easy matchup. So it's like a run up the score. Diggs is like the clear number one wide receiver. Good matchup. It just seems so easy. I also like Gabriel Davis, but Diggs is my guy this week.
Yep. I think that's a good thing too. Gabriel Davis, he'll be slotting in for John Brown. Definitely in play at 3,600. And you're right. I mean, everything feels like this is a get right situation. We didn't even bring him up when we first went through the quarterback. So that kind of just shows you he's probably going to be less than what, 5% owned, like quarterback wise, I would say. Josh Allen at 7,700. I mean, I think most people, if they're paying up in that range, they're probably looking to pay for Russell Wilson. So in a game that's going to be more competitive, more shootout esque. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he ran the ball 14 times versus the Jets. I mean, he's got just as high of a ceiling. Wouldn't be shocked to see him put up QB1 numbers there.
He pull so. Off, pull off one. He could finish one of those Daniel Jones runs.
Oh man,
that, last night that was awesome, wasn't it? Watching him fall down like that,
dude. He got up to 21.
Yeah, I saw that.
3 miles per hour, which it was the same speed as Tyreek Hill this past week. I had no idea it was that fast, but crazy. Yeah,
didn't work out in the end. They've both had they've both had trouble getting into the end zone. That could be a good segue here because Tyreek, you know, he's crushed us a couple times, Kirkwood, with these drops or call back or whatever it might be. So yeah, there's some good plays in this, you know, upper range. I think, you know, we already talked earlier about Hopkins, Adams. I still like Adams. I was rolling with, again, this is what I'm saying about my whole world's getting crumbled here, because same situation as the running backs, you know, with Jones going out. It's the same thing now with, you know, that affects Kyler versus Rodgers, $100 apart. Now $300 apart, we got Hopkins versus Adams. And, I think Hopkins would have been more owned with the Kyler stacks than we would have seen and everyone on Jones. So kind of wanted to flip it a little bit, and I was feeling good about that. But I'll still stick with it. Adams back, healthy. Just the amount that he can get and what he can do with his targets, right? You know, even last game, he has a rough game, 10 targets. So it's always there. And at 7,900, it's not like off the charts for price. All these Seattle guys will be popular here, in Metcalf and Lockett. Galladay, I didn't check ownership right before we hopped on, but what's his
10.9. Ownership?
Yeah, I do like that. I mentioned earlier with Stafford, like I said, it's a prove it spot. You get a guy like him. It's funny that it's against Atlanta, where last week it was Ryan doing it with Julio. I think this is a spot we could see it with Golladay. And then even, like I mentioned, Hockenson earlier. So I do just love that stack all the way through. And Will Fuller, I think you guys mentioned earlier, one of you did anyway, about getting a piece of him. You know, I definitely like that. We already talked about Watson, and I talked a lot about Rodgers. So I love mixing the game stack up that way as well. You could just simply run, you know, a 2-2-1 with Rodgers, Adams, Fuller. It's quite a bit of money, but you're looking for ceilings when you're running stacks that way, and then fit some of these value pieces around. We have no shortage of value, especially at running back, the way things look like they're shaking down. So that's sort of where I'm at in that upper range.
Yep. I'll touch on Will Fuller. I love him. He's obviously the clear number one receiver. He comes into this week with 450 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns. He's ranked 9th in air yards. He did this with all with that one game when I forgot who it was against, but he bageled in one game, but he was injured. I think it was week 2 or something, or week 3.
It was his hammy. Was versus the Ravens week 2.
Yeah, the Ravens. He was kind of just like being a decoy out there. So it's like his numbers are even more impressive is my point. It's a tough matchup with Jair Alexander, who's been awesome this season.
Packers are playing a lot of zone though, and he doesn't travel. So
yeah, so that's the interesting thing is whether they'll play sides or they may use them. They do use them some to shadow. I looked at that today, but it's not. We don't know for sure whether that's going to be the case.
I feel like Jair's almost always played his side, but I might be wrong there. But
also with Brandon Cooks, you know. It's not a gimme that, you know, they may just play their sides because of the fact that way with Cooks has been solid lately. So he did, you know, match up a lot with Adam Thielen. He did allow Thielen to have a decent game. It wasn't all his production was, you know, he was only matched up for some, but he did give up a touchdown to Thielen. So it's not like it's, and Will Fuller's has a speed mismatch on anyone, right? Like, so this is a guy who's like a clear number one, right? And so we'll see. I'm interested to see if people like talk down his matchup or not, but like I don't think they will because the monster total in this game and everyone's going to want a piece of it. So it's going to be – he's going to be popular for that reason. But I'm interested to see if maybe people start saying they shy away from him because of matchup. But I like Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen went down, you know, he was on his way to a monster game, you know, a great start and then had his back spasms. But now he gets a matchup with the Jags, 32nd in DVOA versus the pass. So, I like Keenan Allen a lot. He'll match up with Trey Herndon a lot, in the slot and who's given up a ton of production. So yeah, I like him. Did we talk about McLaurin?
No, we said we would.
Yeah, there's just monster up. So that's like every week there's always like this 6K range with like monster upside, and like he's this week's monster upside play for 5,800. So it's against the Cowboys. It's like it's so easy to see him just breaking one.
Yeah. The only question there is can you where do you want to be on his ownership? We have him at 18.1 right now. So it's just like wide receivers are usually, the position where I try to get off the chalk, but it's, you're right. I mean, the ceiling capabilities that Terry's got, it's just ridiculous. So where do you want to be? Like if ownership's right at 20%, where are you going to be?
I mean, I'm going to have him instead. I mean, I think he smashes. So like, I'm convinced he smashes. So I want to be over.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. Tyler Lockett. How do we play this? Is it Metcalf? Is it Lockett? Is it both? Is it one or the other?
Game.
Yeah, I think
single entry. What are you doing?
Probably neither.
There you go.
I'd lean towards Lockett this week. Just feel like Metcalf's going to have a little bit tougher matchup on the outside.
And single entry, I'm playing Carson. because I just think there I already like him enough. And
we already we got Diggs. So what else, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's so many ways. That's what I'm saying. There's so much you can do here that it's like, you know, they're going to be popular though. You know, people want to play them. It's they're in good spots. I'm going to have game stacks that have them. I'm going to be mashing them together, separating them, whatever. But it's, you know, in something like that, I kind of want to look for a way to get around it and see what else could happen. And I think, like I said, you could easily run even a Kyler, you know, Kirk stack. We're going to talk about Kirk in a second. He's like 4,900 or something. You know, it's fine. And then you got Carson on the other side. You just got a nice little three-piece combo set there that game, and you're good to go for the evening, right? That's what you're waiting on. And Kirk catches a bomb and the other way, and Kyler runs a couple in, and that takes away from it. And then on Seattle, it's Carson that does the work. So I could easily see that working.
Then –
go ahead. I was going to say, I think my favorite wide receiver play on the whole slate is Tyler Boyd. Cleveland gives up the most points in the slot to wide receivers. Cincinnati is going to be without Joe Mixon. We've kind of already seen how many plays they ran against Cleveland and how many plays in general they've run all year. With no Joe Mixon, I think the pass run ratio goes up. Tyler Boyd is going to see a ton of targets this week. My favorite wide receiver play. I think he's got a high floor, high ceiling. And you know where ownership is coming right now. I mean, we don't even have him in the top. We have him at 7.4%. Like, he might be my highest owned wide receiver right now. That's how much I like him.
There you go.
Yeah, I like him too. It's like I said earlier, I do like him. I just think that the other thing is that for $100 less, it seems bad, but you know the usage has been there for a guy like T. Higgins. He's, you know,
and oh, yeah.
You
get a
on the season. You can play them both together. You're on them both. I get it, but I just mean like if you look at that situation, it's what Burrow trusts right now, and he, like I said, no one touchdown in the last three games that he's thrown.
I think so it's great too that they got AJ Green going last week, but yeah, here on the season you have T. Higgins with an 18.6 target share, A.J. Green 18.8, and Tyler Boyd 20.1. So spread out almost evenly between those three. You know, air yards wise, you got more T. Higgins at 39% and Boyd at 36%. So kind of shows you that they're taking more shots with them down the field.
Yeah, right.
And then one of these Steeler wide receivers. I mean, so I had the worst single entry lineup of all time last week. I played it heavy and everything. I played like Cam Newton to Edelman, and then I had like Juju in there. It was just the absolute nut low. What do you do with Claypool, with Deontay Johnson back? Is Juju just washed, hurt, injured? What, you know? But, like, their prices, like, one of these guys is going to pop off for a monster game.
For me, this is a spot where I just avoid it, kind of see how it plays out. But just the usage of Claypool inside the red zone. Like, if I'm going anywhere, I'm going Claypool just because of all the interesting plays they do for him within the five, you know, the basically carries where they're kind of just giving him the ball or the wide receiver screens, you got to just love him. But outside of that, I think I just avoid this spot just to see how it shakes out. Tough matchup.
Well, like before Before Johnson got hurt, he was, you know, 13 targets, 10 targets. This is a guy that we were like all over and salivating to play. And now he's kind of, you know, Claypool emerged. At their prices, there's kind of room for both. Like at 40, all I'm saying is at 4,200, it wouldn't shock me at all if he goes off for a monster game.
Sure.
Deontay.
And the Titans, how you beat the Titans is through the air. I mean, you go after these cornerbacks.
I said it last week and I'll say it again. And that's James Washington. He did it last week.
Yeah. I had some.
That's what they like, man. I don't know why. I just, trust me, I like Deontay a lot. I think Juju's the man, but he hasn't been, and that's just the bottom line. So you got to look at that. But I just think, too, the $4,200 value makes Deontay seem like an awesome tournament play. It doesn't seem like as many people are going there. Maybe, you know, everyone's talking about it. I don't see I'm going to pull up his ownership real quick too, because it's easy to find at 4.2K, but 9%. See, it's already creeping up a little bit. Like that's going to be interesting.
How do you like perceive the wide receivers who get squeezed out the most? It seems like Juju's like money in the slot, right? So like, I mean, who do you think gets squeezed out the most between Deontay, James Washington, and Claypool on the outside?
It's so hard to tell, man. Like, here's the thing. If ever I feel like this is not going to be a Claypool week, that's how I look at it. I know what he's done for them the last 2 weeks, but even like last week's on 4 targets, he does that. Obviously, he can do it. They've worked plays for him. I get all that, but it's a situation where Juju, how can you play? I know because everyone's recency bias, this and that, but how can you really play Claypool at 5,700 when Juju's 5,500? That's tough for me, regardless of results.
I did it last week.
Yeah, but last week I think there was a difference.
And I paid more. I paid more. Yeah, on the fish. Yeah.
No. But I think that's right, and that's what I'm saying. I relate that back to any sport that you're playing, and it's not just you don't just go back to the well to say that cool saying. I mean, I'm going to go back to the well, and this guy.
I think they're just done with Juju. I think it's over for him.
But okay, but what are they done with? He's young. What are they going to do? Trade him?
They're going to get rid of him.
Okay, so if you're going to trade a guy, what's the number one thing you need to do? Show the value. Get him back involved and say, look, this guy's a stud. Don't you want him? Sell high. You got to get him going. So
he's a free agent after this year, yeah, so they might just allow him to walk.
Let him die for this season, yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I still think he had the same amount of targets as Claypool did last week. It's just what they do with them and how valuable are they. And, you know, if Claypool drops that big ball to start the game, whatever it was that I remember seeing the replay over and over again, you know, if he doesn't catch that, what's his day look like? And, you know, could it have been Juju? There's so many factors. I like playing these guys at these lower prices. So I'd probably lean Juju or James Washington there over the other two that are getting, you know, ownership because of a couple games.
Oh, man. Deontay Johnson is a good play.
Yeah.
All right. Other Mike Williams, maybe Jacksonville. Yeah. Could he blow up first for a nice 80-yard touchdown or something in this?
I think he's going to be low owned there too. Like,
I mean, just think he wouldn't be after his monster game against the Saints, but that was also because Keenan went down. But
and it's so tough in that range because you know there's LaVisca, who we didn't even talk about, Keelan Cole, the other side of this game, those two guys. And then there's Kirk, who is going to be in those stacks. So that just leaves the $4,700 price tag alone. And he's in a fine spot. And I think most people that are stacking Herbert are going to have Allen or Henry or Allen and Henry. So why not use him in all your stacks with Herbert and, you know, leverage up a little bit that way while still going after the same stuff. It's not like this guy can't break the slate. Realistically, he's probably more likely than a guy like Keenan Allen, who just catches a bunch of balls and gets you, you know, 18 to 20 typically. Whereas, you know, Williams showed it last time out when he played was 30 something points on DraftKings. So I think that's the way to go for that situation. It's another way to go at least.
Other guy, yeah, and then the lower end guys. So there's like two obvious leverage plays in my eyes, but like they're not sexy by any means. It's Marvin Jones. He's just been awful this season. He hasn't done much, but you just know what he's capable of, at least from past seasons. You know, is he washed? I don't know. I don't think so. And then MVS, 4,100. Both of those guys, you know, the number two wide receivers in for cheap prices in games that we're targeting. How popular do you think those guys will be?
Yeah, you're going to get them like probably 5% ownership for sure. Just because, again, people have been burned by Marvin Jones in the last how many weeks, right? So Galladay's in a perfect smash spot. It makes sense to go to Marvin Jones again. We've seen his ceiling, right? So, yeah, I like it. I don't know how popular Galladay will be just because he's at 6,700. And he's just I think he's got just a ridiculous ceiling in Atlanta where they should be passing quite a bit here. So, Tambo, what do you think with these, like, wide receiver two leverage spots?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Kirkwood, that's a good call on MBS. I do like that. Averaging 6 targets a game. the last four games already with other guys in the mix. And then the other thing is he's $100 more than, again, assuming that the scenario goes this way, you know, we get Jamal Williams at 4K. People will have him in their flex slot, and realistically, you could easily play MBS there. I know that seems terrible, and there's other plays at that price when you go look at the flex, but if you're just looking to leverage one for one, it's $100 more, and you definitely have a guy that could smash in full point.
It's not terrible when he catches that 80-yard touchdown.
Oh, it's huge. That's what I'm saying. And then where's Jamal Williams at? See you later. It's gone. The slate's over as far as that's concerned. And so I do like that call quite a bit, even more than the Jones one that it feels like. Jones feels more chasey, like just look, as in not him, but looking for it. Like we're just keep chasing the, it could happen this week, but we've seen it at work for other guys. So I don't hate that, but I really do like the MBS call there. And then one more guy I was going to bring up down there was
Traquan.
I guess, no, Traquan's in the mix though. But what about Demir? Is it finally Demir Bird week? We didn't talk about Cam or anything like that, but what about him?
I'm done. I'm done with Cam. I feel like Cam is going to go off this week now. It's just going to happen because I was so on him last week. I don't know.
Yeah, Edelman's questionable this week too. So
he's always questioned. He's questionable every week. But they're definitely limiting. He could be dust too, Edelman. But I think that they could be limiting him. And plus, he doesn't. I don't think he has like the same connection with Cam. Demir Bird has that connection.
Carolina connection.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't excite me, but I mean, he's cheap, right? I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like it's like you said, but it's one of the ones you'll go off
like,
of.
We've got to talk about like Traquan or who else would it be? Deontay Harris or Jared Cook or
Jared Cook. I think Jared Cook is where you go. I mean, tight end should be a little bit chalkier this week. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but I think
Traquan's a number one wide receiver for dirt cheap.
Yeah. And a team that's going to pass a ton. Right. So, but I think Jared Cook is going to have a pretty big role. So, I mean, I'm going to probably go there quite a bit. And I don't think ownership will be on Jared Cook that much.
No, we can segue to tight end anyway, but there's a lot of tight ends that are going to be owned or like, sorry, that's going to be spaced out a lot because ownership is going to be spread out a lot. And so it's going to make for Jared Cook to be probably under-owned in, like you said, a situation where they're missing two guys, Sanders and Thomas. So
he's going to be chalk by Sunday.
I think people will get there. I think people will also get there. Yeah.
So let's talk about it. Let's go to tight end and wrap this show up.
People don't like playing two guys, remember too. So when you think about Kamara is going to be have so much ownership, and people aren't going to want to play Breeze with them. So it's like that's a way you could go or an angle you could take, but I don't think many people are going to want to go that way playing Cook and Kamara in the same lineup.
Levitan's going to be all over it for cash.
Who plays cash?
The ETR, baby.
All right.
Tourney Takes Podcast.
So let's talk about tight end. So the ownership guys are going to be Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Because he's a beast, right? And he's 6,300 and you're getting a wide receiver one. Hunter Henry is going to get, you know, so like Cook could eat into the Henry ownership for sure. David Njoku is back in our lives after Austin Hooper going down potentially.
Yeah, we got him as pure chalk, which seems kind of weird, right?
Well, he's 3K, and people like to punt tight end. So, I mean, it may be like that he became the play before then we got the news with all the Saints guys.
Is he even the starter? Like, I feel like Harrison Bryant.
He's running the routes. So, he should be the one getting the passing down work for the tight end position. Yeah, other guys, dude's a blocker. So, I mean, and he's 3K. And, you know, it's not like he doesn't have any kind of connection with, like, with Mayfield. I mean, everyone was all over this guy for the last couple of years. So, I mean, he just steps into a good potential situation for this week. So, I like that. Darren Waller is, you know, just targets, targets, targets. Now, Ruggs is back, sure, but, like, it's still targets, targets, targets. Like, he's just what? I think he's second in I think only Kelce has more targets than him, if I remember correctly. But
sounds right.
I don't know who else from there. I mean, I'll tell you one thing is, though, Jordan Akins going to be back?
No, he's already been ruled out.
Ruled out. So Darren Fells.
Mm-hmm. And he's coming off of two pretty decent weeks. So I think people will go there, like, if they're game log chasing.
I mean, I think it's warranted, though. Yeah. So I think, like, Deshaun likes to use the tight end. It's just always been this mix of two. And it's like, so the opportunities there as him being either of these guys, if they can, you know, be a single, you know, kind of a bell cow tight end, so to speak. And then we got Green Bay, potentially Tanyan.
It's questionable.
Yeah. So who's that next?
Yeah, this week it's Tanyan, actually, by the way. Just a little tidbit there for you. I saw the tweet. I was like, okay, thanks for that. We don't care that much. It was one game.
Are you kidding me? Try to tell that to Head Chopper.
Yeah.
So it'd be Jay Sternberger would be probably more the pass receiving. You got Mercedes Lewis still there too, but I think Jace has got the more of the upside.
And Noah Fant's back.
Mm-hmm.
And a game that they're going to have to pass for at least while they're still in it against Kansas City. I actually don't mind him, to be honest with you.
I was just clicking him back when you said that. I forgot about that. It's kind of a good spot. I do like that.
Because he's deaf. No one's going to play him. Jonnu. I mean, there's plenty of options this week. So, all right, go. Break it down, somebody.
Yeah, I think if you're paying up, Kelsey makes the most sense, but he's going to be the highest owned out of that group. I think Waller is where you go for ownership, just to get cheaper ownership. I don't know. I'm just kind of curious to see where ownership ends up, because I'm going to try and pivot off the chalk. This is the one spot that I haven't gotten right this whole year is tight end. So I feel like this is the last place where I would ever want to get anybody more than 10% ownership into a lot of my lineups. So I think paying up is still going to be kind of contrarian this week. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be like one of those things where I'm going to want to figure out where the public is going more so. But I think Jared Cook is where I lean right now. And, you know, based upon where we have Hunter Henry, if Jared Cook becomes the chalk, then I'll look to possibly pay down for something cheaper. But, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I was just looking at one thing here with Kelsey, because I think he always busts Denver, right? Like, that's obviously division. But he just destroys them. So there's that. I think that's why he's getting the ownership. I like Kittle still. My only worry, I guess the downfall is that it's, you know, the obvious Bill Belichick shuts down the number one. He's by far their number one. It's not close. Like, I get all that, but I don't know. I got to wait and see what ownership updates, and not just, you know, to cop out, but it shows him at 4% right now. I didn't think it would be that low, and I still loved him. But, like, I also can't believe that Njoku is going to be like 20%. I don't care about the price or not. He hasn't done a thing. There's still Harrison Bryant there, whether people believe it or not. I'm just saying there's other reasons to think that's not going to be the case. And I actually kind of like maybe Njoku's the trade narrative, because I remember just, it was like a week or two ago, he was asking for a trade, said his agent was looking into it, trying to get him out of there. But maybe now Baker feeds him a bunch, right? And that's a good matchup against Cincinnati there. I do like that a little bit more now that we talked about it. The other guys I like, you know, I did like Henry, chalk or not. I think it's too cheap for the workload he's been getting. Hawkinson, who I mentioned, like, everyone's been targeting, myself included, Atlanta all year. But now nobody wants to talk about Hawkinson in a game that I think can definitely go back and forth in Atlanta, in the dome. You know, I'm all over that with Hawkinson. And then you mentioned, who's the guy you just mentioned that I said, yeah, I kind of like that. Oh, Noah Fant. Yeah, I actually like that quite a bit. I mean, if you look at pricing and you got Jared Cook 43, Darren Fells 41, it's nothing against those plays. It's just, I think Noah Fant's better. And in the matchup and the setup and the game environment and all of that, it would be nice to see like a Mahomes, you know, how do you want to mix it up? Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, run it back with Fant, like just get that little mini stack on the go or something. I could see that. And, you know, Fant could bust the tight end position wide open, and Tyreek can bust the whole slate if he actually catches a couple of these for once on these 60-yard walk-ins or 80-yard walk-ins and doesn't get a hold called against him. So I like that spot as well, to just to round it out.
Yeah, I mean, Locke's going to try to be slinging it. So that defense has looked tough, but like Fant should bring a little extra to them. So, and he's just an athletic beast. So I think that's interesting, definitely. And then Kittle.
Yeah, like him. I was just saying about him, but what's your thoughts? The Massachusetts man, you know what Bill Belichick's all about down there. I think it's pretty obvious who he's going to shut down. He's going to try and shut down Kittle. I guess the thing for me is Kittle, yards after catch monster. It only takes one play, and then Bill Belichick can't do nothing but watch from the sidelines. So
yeah, and with their running situation, you would think they would start passing more, right? I mean, they don't have their normal studs in the backfield to give them.
He's been getting so many targets against other defenses too, but he's getting 10, 15, and 8. Like, these are huge games. I mean, one of them was with Mullins, but still.
I think Kittle could still have a big game because healthy Debo is there.
That too, yep.
So I could get behind that. And I think everyone, he's going to get completely overlooked.
By the way, Jordan Akins hasn't been ruled out yet, but he didn't practice today. So he's on the wrong side.
And the latest article worded it that way too. I wasn't going to cut you off there when you said it, but it worded it like he's going to be out though. It sounds like it. Cause they're like, he's not ready yet. So
right.
For what? For tomorrow's walkthrough or for the week? Like, give us some info here. But, yeah, we'll find that out later. But Fells just seems expensive. I know, what was it, last week or the week before when last week, 20 DK points. Good for him.
I think he's back-to-back weeks with a touchdown, too.
Yeah, that helps. And the week before, 13 DK points, six of them and seven of them are a touchdown in small yardage. So that's where that came from.
Stack it up. All right, so I'll start it off. You already know my favorite. It's going to be, we're going Josh Allen, we're going Stephon Diggs, then we're going to have to figure out somebody to bring it back with, but we're going to, it's probably, hopefully it's Crowder, but it might be Perryman will be the guy. So that'll be my favorite stack. Then the other stack, I don't know what to do, but maybe I do them both. Would it be Joe Burrow to Tyler Boyd, maybe to Higgins, maybe even to AJ Green, who showed signs of life last week. He didn't get paid or didn't hit the end zone, but no one did. But man, he had 11 targets again, 8 receptions, 96 yards. So he's still cheap. He's not as cheap as he was last week, but it's 4,300. So like, and if you can just give me, 11 targets, 4,300. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm starting to lean that way too, because he's going to be one of my stacks, but I do lean a little bit more. I love Boyd though. Like Brett, I just feel like his ownership is going to keep creeping up. And then by the end of the week, he'll be 3 times the ownership of Higgins. So if you ran like a Burrow Higgins Green with Hunt on the other side, that would be the same game, almost the same deal. You're just pivoting a little bit there and you've got some leverage that way on those exact same game stacks. So yeah, I don't mind that as well. Go ahead, Brett.
Just looking at the correlation there, looks like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are most correlated together, whereas A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd have negative correlation. So with Tyler Boyd going to be like one of my highest own, I'm more likely to pair him with T. Higgins.
Yeah, that would make sense too. But I just think the obvious is no need for to walk around it. T. Higgins has like the whole season is T. Higgins season. So obviously he's going to correlate with Boyd more when A.J. Green has been dust for 5 games. So
it's a 5 game sample size.
Yeah. So and we know that Green's been dust. That's why he's priced down at 4,300. So I get it. And you're right. And I wouldn't even hate that. I like those stacks. I think just adding T. Higgins in, Brett, is sharp, right? Most people are just going to stop there or decide something else, whether it's Njoku on the other side is a way to get different or something like that over Hunt. But I do like the call, still mixing them up. I just think so Green works well.
Higgins is going to correlate fine with Green, right?
I think
because they had both had good games. They both had good games last week. That's what it is.
It's a 0.66.
All of them are. Like, pick your poison. I don't know.
Play them all.
Can you play all 3 of them? I mean, because we've seen three wide receiver stacks do really well this year in chalky games.
With Kareem the Dream Hunt putting up 40 ball on them, they can.
Not to mention what we talked about, Brett. You and I are the ones who brought up. If he's going to go back, if we're going to see Joe Burrow throw 50 times, 61 last time. But didn't the game go to OT last time? I think
I'm gonna be digging into Jarvis Landry. I know that injury, but like I want to play him this weekend. Just at his price point.
Weird that you would come out and say that you have a broken rib. Like, I feel like people are gonna screw with you once you open up a weakness like that. But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I'll give one another stack I like that of mine is like everyone. It's Matt Ryan, Julio again, everyone. But so now it's the easy Matt Ryan to Calvin Ridley this week with Golladay bring back. I mean it's chalky, but something I'm going to be playing. All right, are we done?
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw out a stack. Like, obviously, my favorite stack is the Cincinnati Cleveland. We already talked about that one, but I think going with like the Packer Houston stack. So like Deshaun Watson, bring it back with Fuller, and then you know trying to figure out who is healthy. I guess with the tight ends is going to be interesting. But I mean, I don't hate going to Fells again. We know it's been there. I don't think he sees a lot of ownership at 4,100, so I don't mind going there. And then bringing it back with a low-owned Aaron Jones if he ends up going, I think is a really good tournament play.
I think it's so shaky. I don't mind. I love your call there, though. If you're going to use Watson, just roll it out with Fuller and Fells, both at upper price tags for them, and just max out that ceiling of that stack. And then you can use Jamal Williams on the other side if you wanted to, if it ends up being Aaron Jones out, or go crazy with the running back values and mix in some, you know, Devontae Adams or MBS, who we talked about earlier. That'd be a nice way to run it out too in some large field stuff. For me, already talked about Burrow, already talked about Rodgers. So, you know, not much else to go off of. I guess the last one I'll go with, just because I mentioned a little bit across the show, but Stafford with Golladay and Hawkinson and then Gurley on the other side. I really do like that 3-1 for large field as well.
Yeah, and I think MVS is actually a really intelligent play too if Tanyan doesn't go here, because I mean Tanyan's been really big inside the red zone and MVS is a pretty big body wide receiver, so his red zone equity should go up by quite a bit.
It's Tanyan, Brett. You got to put Tanyan. Some respect on his name. Tanyan. You got to get it right
some
now.
Respect they respect on my name.
Yeah, that's good shit, all right. Man.
Yeah, it is an intelligent play. That's because I mentioned it first. So, all right. This is the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast, and we'll catch you next week.
See you guys.